It is Tuesday afternoon.
Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Noon. It's just after 4:05, and that means we check in at City Hall, and Mayor John Hamilton makes his weekly visit. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. It is nice to be with you on this last Tuesday of spring. Of winter, sorry.
There you go.
The spring. Good to see you.
And it feels like winter today, which we're hoping.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go. Let's get a little warmed up. But we're excited because we can see, you know, St. Patrick's Day. That's always a sign that winter's ending or spring is beginning, whichever glass is half full or half empty. The NCAA tournament's here. Usually the university's on spring break this week, but we know it's just the MCCSC, RBB, and Ivy Tech. So that's a little different. But as we look at the change of seasons here, we look back a year ago, Mr. Mayor, it was this week where a year ago everybody was basically told, hey, don't come back from spring break. We're not sure what's going on. Another milestone, I guess, to put in our books.
Yeah, it's really something to remember, isn't it? How one year ago we heard that word, we spread that word, and boy, if you had told us back then where we'd be today, I don't know that we would have believed it. There's a lot of hope that we'd get through things more quickly, which we didn't. But we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I do want to thank again IU. I think is being really responsible in how they're handling all this. They got to make decisions every day about how to move forward with different events, different scheduling matters for the university, and of course affects the city too.
And you're right, because it affects all of us, because we all share the same sidewalks and same streets and everything else that goes along with that. But Indiana University on the 29th, Mr. Mayor, is going to assume the vaccination responsibilities as the convention center site will slowly shift everything to our friends at Indiana University. It sounds like they have the freezers to hold all this stuff and the backup power, which makes sense in a very volatile weather climate here in the springtime.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a real benefit to have a place. You know, kudos to health department and to the convention center who stood the vaccination sites up and supplemented what the IU Health and some of the pharmacies are doing, and they've done a great job. It's just, you know, Assembly Hall is a lot bigger. There's a lot more ability to move people in and out faster. And we hope those vaccine numbers will keep rising, and having a great university with all of its capacities and crowd control and they get their students in and out, they can get vaccine in and out. So that'll start near the end of this month, as you indicated. And again, everything's done by appointment, so you get online or call 211 and get your appointment to get the shots there.
And the other part of that big parking lot as well, so there's plenty of room, as you mentioned, to get out there and spread out and stay safe and get that shot in arms. When do you get finished up? You're getting jabbed here shortly, aren't you?
I'm getting my first shot on St. Patty's Day tomorrow, so I'm getting in training for it. I'm getting ready I've got my outfit picked out so they can roll my sleeve up, you know. and I'm really excited. This is how we're going to beat this pandemic, and thanks to all the people who've gotten shots so far, and thanks to all of you who are now eligible or soon eligible to get your vaccine, because that is going to let us. I like that picture of July 4th, not our great big parade, but let's aim for July 4th to be able to have gatherings of vaccinated people that we can say we see how this is going to turn out now.
Now, I have an interesting question for you, and if you choose not to answer it, I do not blame you. I just have thought of it momentarily. You had COVID-19 back in, what was it, April or May? I can't remember.
April.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you still need a shot. I know you're not an epidemiologist, but what did they tell you on it? Because my wife has had it, and does she need to get a vaccination too? How does some of this work? I'm not terribly versed in it, sadly.
Yeah. I think the basic word is everybody should get a vaccination if you've had the disease, and they certainly believe there's enough uncertainty about how long the protection lasts after you've been infected. So for me, it's been virtually a year. So they definitely would recommend I go now. I think if you've just had the disease, there may be some question about how quickly you should get a vaccination. But for most of us, it's just the right thing. As soon as you're eligible, get the vaccination, because even if you've had the disease, it's going to increase your protection and make sure everybody knows. You know, I think we still believe about two-thirds of the people who've had the infection don't know they had the infection.
There you go.
You know, never got a positive test or antibody test. So we just all need to get the vaccine. That's what's going to help.
And again, better safe than sorry. Just do it. Look at it this way. We get the flu shot every year, right? You just don't take a year off from getting the flu shot. So that's the way to do it. Have they told you that you need to do anything before you take the vaccination? Governor Holcomb was joking about drinking a bunch of orange juice. Is there anything that you need to worry about? Just go in there and get it, right?
I've just gotten told be there on time and be ready. And we got such great people who run people in and out of there. I'll give you a report next week how it went, but I'm hoping it'll all go smoothly, and I expect it will.
I'm all signed up, ready to go. I will be in next Tuesday as well, so we will report back here. I'm going at 8:45 in the morning on Tuesday. I saw a time pop up, and I just said, I'm taking it. I don't care what time it is.
We can share stories.
That's it.
We can share stories.
We'll see how it goes. See if there's any soreness or anything else that happens with that. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest every Tuesday just after 4:05. And as we know, the big news today and why I'm talking about it is, well, 45 and older, Governor Eric Holcomb has said, go ahead and get signed up, raring to go. We'll hear more from the governor. He'll be on at 2:30 tomorrow in his normal spot. He's also appointed a new Secretary of State. Is that a hugely big development, or with an election cycle coming up in 2022, it's not that big of a deal?
Well, it's an important spot, runs the elections, really critical. And I don't know the person he's named for that, and they'll stand for election again. But it's the lead of the ticket in that off-year election. The Secretary of State's the top of the ballot for state ballot, so it's an important spot.
Excellent. So we've got that figured out. We've got that going on. Saw a great story on the front page of the paper today on the e-paper. The Herald Times had a story about a huge development possibly going in at the old warehouse site. And that's going to provide perhaps some housing and some townhomes and everything else adjacent to Switchyard Park. I find that fascinating because we were talking off the air. Bryant Park, kind of north and south, has some neighborhoods abutted to it, but Switchyard Park right now really doesn't have that connection to single family homes or apartments or townhouses or anything else.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, in some ways, that's when you started as a railroad switchyard, people didn't all want to live right next to it.
But it's loud. There's trains.
One of the things we talked about, though, was how important it is with a park to have people living next to it. There's really two really big values to that. One, it's a great place to live right next to a park. And so when we looked at Switchyard and look at some of our others like Brian and Building and Trade and others, they're wonderful places to live. If that's your backyard, you know, I had somebody on Bryant Park tell me, yeah, I live on Bryant Park. I got a 40-acre backyard. I don't have to mow. It's really awesome, you know. So looking at that, we have put 8 affordable units. If you go in the west entrance of Switchyard off of Rogers, you can look to the apartment building just south of the entrance. Those are new apartments that are affordable apartments right on the park. We just have approved they got their tax credits, a plan to put about 50 or so units where Night Moves used to be, or well, it's still sitting, but that's going to replace that. And as you mentioned, there's a plan to look at the conversion of the destruction of that warehouse, not the warehouse, not the big warehouse on the southern part. It's the longer, narrower warehouse at the north end of Switchyard, just to the west of the basketball courts and such. That two-thirds of that would be removed and replaced with over 100 units of housing, including affordable housing. And I think that's a great thing to get more people living there, because this not only is it great to live next to a park, the second thing that's really good is having a lot of people with eyes on a park, right on a park, is great for park safety and activity levels and all that stuff.
Interesting. Does it help that the property owner and developer is local? So I don't know. Does that help?
Well, Tom Brennan, who has owned the warehouse for some time, is somebody who works with us, and we've been talking to him about different options, so it doesn't hurt. That we don't know who the developer might be, though. Tom is likely to sell it to somebody else to develop it, as far as I understand. I mean, he's not really a housing developer himself, I believe. But, you know, we work with all kinds of people. The eight units that were built right at the west entrance of the Switchyard Park were done locally by a local group, South Central Indiana Housing Opportunities. The property that's going to be built replacing Night Moves, and I got to get a better name for that. It does have a new name, I forget it, but that property is being developed by an out-of-state developer in partnership with the local. So we'll take all comers as long as they build what we want.
And the other, I didn't know it was the ugliest building in Bloomington. I was just reading about that. Wow.
he called it that himself.
That's exactly right. Right. Now,
like building and trades, if I can just mention, you know, that's immediately north of the current hospital on 2nd Street. And it has some single family housing around it. But in the hospital reuse plan, the master plan, there's plans for major investment of housing on the south side of 2nd, which would face that park. And, you know, that's a great place to live if you can live right next to a park. And it's great for the park to have all those people basically with eyes on the park. It's a really good dual impact.
And the other part that I find interesting is all these locations we're talking about, sandwiched right in between it is going to be the hospital reclamation project. So this, synergy, I don't know if that's the right word, but connecting all these dots and putting it all together, this is a pretty big time in our city's history.
Well, you know, when I came into office, I called it a string of pearls. Those four spots along the B-line, the Switchyard at the south, next is the hospital reuse, next is the convention center redo, next is the hospital reuse, and then at the north end is the trades district redo. And you're right, they all kind of play off of each other and help each other. And it's kind of amazing that this reclaimed rail line trail, now the B line trail, can be this incredibly important urban connector for all these sites. It's pretty exciting time.
And again, this is all in the developmental process. None of this ground is being knocked around. Well, government has to get involved. At what stage, Mr. Mayor? Are they already involved with the planning and everything else that goes along with this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is two of these, well, three of them government owns, you know, Switchyard Park we bought, the hospital property we bought, and the trades district property we bought. And then the convention center has been publicly held for a long time. So those kinds of things help us spark private investment around them. And similarly, you know, you'll be hearing and seeing this summer the 7 line. That's the 7th Street east-west corridor that will be a public infrastructure where we're creating as much as we can a B-line feel, a separated bike lane, and really good pedestrian connections from the B-line east all the way into campus. And those kind of public investments really help create the quality of life and the attraction that then brings private investment along behind it.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He checks in with us every Tuesday just after 4:05. So plenty of things on the docket this afternoon. But the American Rescue Plan is coming soon to a theater near us, but it's really coming soon to a government near us. Tell us how that works.
Well, yeah, this is a big deal. I mean, I expect most people have followed the national news about the rescue package, the $1.9 trillion bill that passed the House and the Senate and then was signed by the president a week or two ago. That America Rescue Plan Act has major parts of it, of course, related to COVID, related to schools, related to vaccinations, related to unemployment insurance and stuff. But a big piece of it, I think about $350 billion, is focused on relief to state and local governments. And this is unusual in a major federal package in that the local government money is going, so far as we know, there's still details to check out, but is going to be sent directly to local governments, not to the state to then dole out. So in Indiana, for example, the state is going to receive, I believe, about $3 billion from this plan to use in various ways to help in recovery. Just to put that in perspective, the total state surplus right now is about $2 billion. So this is a $3 billion injection. Locally, there are about $2 billion that will be spread all around local governments. And it looks like we will get here, if you combine the city and the county, about $50 million directly from this rescue plan. That's a big deal. And we'll be talking about how we use that money to protect local government and to invest in the recovery for our communities.
And that's a nice chunk of change that can be, who's going to determine how that gets spread out? And you have a bidding process? How does that go?
Well, it'll all get appropriated like any money does through the county council and through the city council. I kind of like to put this stuff in perspective. So that works out to a little under $500 a person going to the state. If you took per capita Indiana, everybody, every man, woman, and child, that's about $500 coming from the federal government that'll help support state. And it's about $300+ per person in our county that we'll get locally. So, you know, I don't know what the state's going to do with it. And that'll have to go through the governor and then the state assembly as well. I know locally the funding will be appropriated by our fiscal bodies. And Ellisville's getting some, Steinsville's getting some. It's getting pushed directly to every burg and hamlet in the country. It's kind of interesting.
Excellent. And what do you expect that arrival? When does that, do they have a reservation?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be sooner rather than later.
Okay.
That is, I imagine it's a question of months. It'll come, I'm almost sure it'll come in a matter of months, within a few months.
Excellent. So that's the next steps, and we'll keep an eye on that as we get things moving forward. It's been kind of quiet at the city. That's the good news. COVID is kind of, it's not gone away, but we haven't seen any more cases here recently from your group.
That's right. We've now had 2.5 weeks. We're coming up on 3 weeks with no cases. We'll knock on wood and hope that continues. The numbers continue in the right direction for our community and our state. I still remind people, we're not out of this. There's an American dying every minute of every day still from COVID, and they're dying in our state. And we have variants that are really concerning. The experts continue to remind us, keep doing what you're doing, get vaccinated, keep your mask on, keep distancing. Even this spring break week, it is not the time to have parties. We still have a 15-person limit on social gatherings in the city because we are concerned. It would take 3 people coming back from a trip to Florida who brought back the UK variation could get 500 people infected before we turned around in the city. So we really have to continue to be careful.
And before I let you go on this, the sun's trying to come out. We're trying to get better here on a Tuesday afternoon. I know you want to talk about this because this is something that you started. The biennial survey, the third one, is getting ready to be administered. And let me get your thoughts on that, please.
Sure. We get a lot of feedback in government. One is called elections, whether people vote for you or not. another is public meetings and visits and letters and emails. But what we don't do very often is get scientific representative feedback from everybody. And so 4 years ago in 2017, we decided to do a scientific survey. What do people think about Bloomington? How do they feel about police services and parks and parking and public safety and the neighborliness of your community and all kinds of questions? So we started that, and we do it every 2 years. So this is actually the third iteration. It's scientifically done. So not everybody gets, we mail it to 3,000 representative households. It's run with precision to make sure we have a balance of the kind of demographics that should, if too many people answer the survey of one demographic, we have to kind of discount that a little bit. But it really does help us, and it helps us drive toward paying attention to housing issues, affordable housing issues, or pay attention to parking, or pay attention to public safety. In particular, now we're starting to build up a trend line to see which direction people are moving. Now, let me say, we learned some things that aren't surprising, like how important the arts are to people in Bloomington, how much people love firefighters. but some things are can be kind of instructive. How important trails are to people, how important responding to homelessness is to our community, how important investing in public safety is. And so, if you get this survey, I hope you'll answer it. Please do, because you're one of those who's been randomly selected. If you don't get the survey, you are welcome to fill it out online. You can go, and we kind of segregate those two different groups. But it's and then we'll report it to council and see what we learn. It's a little scary, I'll tell you, for a mayor, because you never know what people will say. But we want to know, and we want to hear, and we want to report. And it helps direct our budget. It helps direct our plans.
Yeah, feeling is one thing, but having statistical data is something completely, completely different. And let's remind people too, Mr. Mayor, this is totally anonymous. You don't have to put your name on this. You don't have to do anything.
Absolutely. This is just, you're a resident, and we want to know what you think about all these matters. It takes, I think, 15 or 20 minutes to do it. I actually got one of the surveys once. That was kind of fun. Randomly. Please do fill it out. And we welcome you just to do it, even if you don't get the postcard in the mail.
Right.
Please feel free to go online. We'll be releasing it in the next week or two, I think.
Excellent. And then just bookmark bloomington.in.gov/community survey, and that will take you where you need to go. And again, even if you're not selected, you're still random. You just will not count in the official scientific numbers, so you can still make your opinion heard. And you don't even have to wait to do the survey. You can just go to the city's website, fill out a form, right? There's 100 ways to get feedback in there where you don't have to wait every 2 years.
We welcome it anytime, and we'll report all of this out to the public and to the council, and it's really important. It helps us become a better city.
All right, I want you to do a shot tomorrow. Do a good one.
Okay.
Roll those sleeves up. Get out there with the crowds and not do that. Be safe, and we'll hear all about it next Tuesday, because I'll have mine, you'll have yours, and we'll compare notes.
Sounds good, Mike. Have a good week.